Broadcasting live from Florida's capital city, this is the Jeff Cameron Show, brought to you by Orange Theory Fitness on Real Talk 93.3. Now, stop what you're doing and listen closely. It's time for the Jeff Cameron Show in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Jeff Cameron Show on a Libations Friday. Thanks for tuning to it. I'm Jeff. That is Tom. On Twitter, it's at Jay Cameron Show. Appreciate you in the Heisen Lincoln Law Firm chat. You know about our friends at Heisen Lincoln Law Firm. Making sure that you're taken care of, well protected, all the good things. And they only make money if you win. If you win. So if you're injured in an automobile accident, make sure you go to HeisenLincolawFirm.com. Check them out today.
Well, the key there is they represent the whole state. They have offices in Tampa, and you hear that every day, offices in Tampa. Well, I don't live in Tampa. Well, they serve the whole state.
That's 813-803-0733. There you go. There's the number. We appreciate our friends at Heisen Lincoln Law Firm, HeisenLincolnLawFirm.com. Thanks for sponsoring the chat. Good guys. Appreciate you. And thanks for being in the chat. Talk amongst each other.
This is actually, I did the people a solid today. This is on demand. So they could talk in the comments section. So this is the Heisen Lincoln comments section underneath the video.
Today. All right, let's follow up on where we were last hour, which we were talking football, which was fun. And I was going back. By the way, I don't know if I mentioned this either. So I mentioned the Feldman thing, and they were talking about where he has everybody. He has us as having a bye, Tom.
No, so this is very confusing because you have to be a conference champion this year to have a bye. So 10-2 doesn't make sense. You'd have to.
I guess he's saying, let me read. Even with a ton of guys gone to the NFL, Mike Norvell has a squad ready to reload and make the expanded postseason, especially after last season's drama. Only 8 starters returned, but the buzz inside the program is high about how ready some of the new starters are to break out. Patrick Payton leads a very talented defensive front and has Marvin Jones Jr. on the other side. I'm told he's ready to have a monster season. Talking about Marvin Jones Jr. Miami transfer Daryl Jackson is a massive piece in the middle. Watch out for cornerback Azaria Thomas, who could make a run at All-American honors. The big question is how potent will DJ Uiagalelei be? He's back in the ACC after making strides at Oregon State. His ability to run should fit well in Norvell's system. Transfers Malik Benson and Roydell Williams, both from Alabama. Jalen Lucas from Indiana will add sparks. The Noles get Clemson at home and have trips to Miami and Notre Dame. And also, will play a good Memphis team after a bye. A 10-2 run sounds about right, unless DJU takes another big step forward. So he's talking about regular season totals. He's not, clearly then if he has us as having a bye, he does have us going 10-2 in the regular season and winning the ACC.
Yeah, it's an auto situation, at least for now. We'll see as the conferences change, realignment happens, what autos are given out and so forth. But okay, so that would make more sense that it's not 10-2 at large territory, because 10-2 also implies that you didn't even play in the conference championship game. So you'd have Miami, Clemson, SMU, or whatever it would be. And FSU would make it at large, which I thought by itself, and I know that's not what he's doing, was quite the statement. You're saying an ACC team can earn an at-large bid? Because I'm not so sure one can. I'm not so sure that even the only team that really could probably, well, the two are us and Clemson, because Clemson does open with Georgia and we play Notre Dame. So maybe at that point we have the resumes, but we know not to trust that anymore.
For those that need a refresher, the 5 highest ranked conference champions receive automatic bids, and 7 at large spots are given to the next highest ranked teams. The 4 highest ranked conference champions will be seeded 1-4 in the expanded playoff. Those teams have a first round bye, which is what I was just referencing. Seeds 5-8 host a first round game, and quarterfinals and semifinals are at bowl sites. That's how that works.
So the only way you can get a game at Doak, I think, in the invitational era of college football, would be to go 12-0 and lose in Charlotte. That's about the only way you're going to get a home playoff game at Doak.
Yeah.
Because I think if you go 11-1 and lose in Charlotte, they might put in 9-3 Ole Miss ahead.
They might. Yeah, we all know the deal. Don't give them a reason.
Yeah.
Don't give them a reason. The other part of what we were getting into with the games and the lines that had come out, and we went through some of these. Georgia is a 7-point favorite over Ole Miss. Georgia is a 15-point favorite over Tennessee. They like Georgia a lot yet again. Georgia's favored on the road at Texas. Georgia is a robust 19-point favorite over Florida, of course. I went through all these. They're pretty much telling you they think Georgia is the best team in the country, and that's fine. And you might be saying, why do you bring that up? Well, we're talking about the area code in which we live. We're talking about we now are part of this wonderful neighborhood. We'd like to know where we fit in. It's not the biggest house in the neighborhood. That's down the street there. That's Georgia's house. But we're building a mansion of our own. Soon, maybe, we will demolish said mansion and build something bigger when we become the big boy on the block. And I like looking at the other big boys on the block. That is a category in which I'd like to live in, semi-permanently. By the way, Georgia's a 21-point favorite over Auburn, Tom.
Yeah, I saw that. I was looking for the line against Clemson. I can't find it on that list for their opener.
But Georgia Clemson should have been right there at the top of the list.
Should be at the top, and I don't see it. So maybe it's on a different book. But I wanted to get a sense of relative conference strength and how those things are meted out in terms of the books. Like, for example, Tennessee is a 5-point favorite against NC State early in the season. Mm-hmm. So, okay, that makes sense. I think that would track. You could pivot over to a new Big Ten team and an ACC adjacent team. Notre Dame is a 4-point favorite on the road at USC. I find that to be an interesting number, considering where our line is with Notre Dame as well.
See, I would take Notre Dame on the road there. I would take Notre Dame on the road and lay those points and actually feel pretty comfortable about it. Until we see Southern Cal get a stop ever, I just have a hard time. I mean, and now you've lost Caleb Williams. I think USC will still score. You've got an offensive mind that is up there with the best of the best at the helm, but you did just lose your, number one pick in the draft at quarterback.
Well, and also here's a little window into North Carolina and their lack of conviction in North Carolina. So looking at NC State, of course, they're 5-point dogs against Tennessee. NC State is an 8-point road dog at Clemson. Mm-hmm. However, at the end of the year, NC State travels to North Carolina as a 6-point favorite. So Vegas is that's important for us because we play North Carolina just before Notre Dame. When you're talking about a stretch of difficulty for Florida State, the sequence is road Miami, home North Carolina, and then road Notre Dame. So North Carolina fits in a sandwich spot. Vegas is not feeling the post-Drake May era at North Carolina.
Something to point out just in terms of overall big picture, where we are, where Georgia is, where Alabama is, where Clemson is, all these things. The odds for the national championship winner came out, and Alabama's national championship odds are the longest they've been since the first year Saban took over. So it's a brand new world, if you're wondering. ESPN stats and info, Alabama's tied with SEC rivals LSU and Ole Miss for the fifth shortest and trails Georgia, Ohio State, Texas, and Oregon. And Oregon. How about that?
That is interesting. That's got to be about roster, the veteran nature returning players for Oregon. I was just looking at Alabama's schedule, and they do have a big return match with South Florida in week two. Let's not forget what happened last year in that game, although the playoff committee and the network certainly did. But when you get into – they play Wisconsin too. Strange game. They play at Wisconsin. I don't know if that's at Lambeau or if that's in Madison. But they out the gates, their first SEC game is Georgia. So you get Alabama, Georgia on the 28th of September. Mm. Then it's Vandy, South Carolina, Tennessee, Mizzou. Alabama should kind of skate through that stretch. LSU, after a bye week in November, where it usually is, Mercer, and then they close with Oklahoma and Auburn in the last 2 weeks of the year. So Alabama has interesting games, but they're mostly bookended on their SEC schedule.
It is crazy as I delve into this further. You're talking about an expanded field for college football's playoffs, and yet the loss of Saban and increased competition that you're referencing in their conference sees some really interesting and elevated odds. Alabama, Tom, and LSU are plus odds to make the playoff. You can get Alabama if you pick to make a 12-team playoff.
Wow.
You can get them at plus 115.
That feels difficult to believe, considering if there is a doubt to be given the benefit of, Alabama will receive that benefit, as we have just been smacked in the face to learn.
Well, I'll give you an example. Didn't we get done saying that Ohio State was a pretty significant favorite over Michigan?
Yes. Yes.
Michigan is minus 120 despite losing Jim Harbaugh to make the playoff, and yet Alabama's plus 115.
I feel like I'm going to run to the pay window for that Alabama bet. That's crazy.
Because I
agree. Go 8-4, and they're going to get talked about for five more minutes than any other team in the history of 8-4 regular season.
Well, just be careful, because the other point, I'm looking it up on the Action Network, the public is echoing what you and I are saying. So Alabama, the public is betting on Alabama already. They've attracted 4% of the tickets, 3% of the handle to win and make the playoff. They're fourth and tied for seventh, respectively, in the rankings. Georgia and Ohio State make up the overwhelming majority of the national championship picks. But Alabama is in the top five from the public's vantage point.
Still, there was a lot of public money on Alabama overnight between the ACC championship and the selection show. Yeah. And they were correct to assume that it was a fix.
Yeah.
And the fix was in.
The word leaked out. That's correct.
LSU's schedule is extremely manageable this year. And again, sometimes with the SEC, it could be a landmine. See Florida. And they've got the USC game to start the season, which that's just, I mean, if you don't think they're going to win the conference anyway, that all that is for at-large positioning. But their conference schedule starts pretty late. They got an early game with South Carolina, but it's Ole Miss, Arkansas, A&M, then, of course, Alabama, Florida, Vandy, and then they close hosting Oklahoma. So on rivalry weekend, you get Oklahoma at LSU, which is a fantastic game. But I just ran through those teams on their schedule, and that's the opposite of Florida's conference schedule. That is extremely manageable, especially if you're telling me they're plus money to make the playoff.
Yeah.
All I got to find is one spot in seven at-large spaces for LSU. Heck yeah, that's a good value bet.
All of this is fascinating. I will say, when we kind of vet this and talk through it, and we're having a casual conversations on a loosey-goosey Libations Friday where, look, man, baseball season is over for Florida State. It's a little too early for us to just leap down into the muck of all the finer details of Florida State football. So we're looking big picture here. That's why we're having this discussion. Also, those numbers came out, and they're interesting. We're all just kind of vetting, picking, trying to look at what people think about these respective teams in the top 25. But what happens when we do this, Tom, is the more we talk about it, like you just referenced LSU and Oklahoma playing one another. Earlier, we were talking about Texas and Georgia. We talked about Florida going on the road to face Texas. We went through all these machinations of the games that are out there this year. I think we talked about it was Michigan and Oregon play one another, right? I mean, that's an awesome game to think about, too. And what you realize when you do this is, in all of the talk of what's happened to college football and the negatives of what's happened to college football, of which there are many, there are a lot of things that are not the way they ought to be. And we're getting to a place where we're ironing out these things along the way, whether that be NIL and how to properly do this and the laws that apply to that state to state. What are the rules? What, you know, where, what you can and cannot do and why? All of those things, right? All that stuff. It feels confusing to a lot of people, and it is frustrating that it's not across the board. But the one aspect, and I've talked about this a lot, the one aspect that gets the juices flowing of a Super 2, of a big, gigantic Super 2, of Fox, ESPN, Big Ten, SEC, and let's say now we're a part of that, okay? We know that with the expanded playoffs, and we know that with those Super 2 being programs that have committed to the same degree across the board and making their own rules. We know that that's going to happen too, right? That will they'll detach themselves from whatever happens with everybody else that's not part of that Super 2, yeah. And they'll regulate themselves in a different manner. All those things. Okay. What you do have is a whole lot of that. A whole lot of, wait, what? Oregon plays Wisconsin in December, holy moly, or, you know, like in November, oh my goodness, or Florida State's on the road at USC, and then they turn around and face Tennessee the next week in Tallahassee. Like, can you, this is where this is headed.
Yes.
And that part of it gets the juices flowing, because just looking at those games, just you and I having to talk about, oh, well, who plays who when, and what do we look at here? Oh yeah, that's right. It is a game between Oregon and Wisconsin. By the way, that's real. Oregon's a 9-point favorite over Wisconsin. Yeah, that's pretty cool. You know, that Michigan is going to take on Oregon early in the year, and that Texas plays Michigan at Michigan.
That was part of the horse trading that went for Texas to be able to leave the Big 12 early with the networks. They switched locations for those games, the order in which the home and home was played. We are going there. There are pluses and minuses to it. We already know the minuses. We're living through those. You know, the pluses are arriving. But what we saw last year in the Invitational, for the first time, really, again, just in your face, was that losses don't matter. Losses don't matter nearly as much as they used to. Losses, especially in this game, in college football, losses always mattered. Yeah. And then beyond whether they mattered, it was when you lost that mattered.
Yeah, when you lost and to whom. Absolutely. And I think we'll rue the day that the results don't matter. It's not great. But the other side of it is you're encouraged to schedule your ass off against the best possible programs in the country, because you know what? If you go 10-3, you're going to the playoff. Right. If your schedule is a top five schedule, you're going.
Correct. And that is the futures. Now, losses do not matter anymore in the way that we have known for the entirety of our lives. Now, that, again, the Invitational thing last December started and ushered in that era quicker than I thought we would, but it happened. And it's only going to get more progressive in that way. They're going to 14. I mean, 14. Get the hell out of here. You're going
to just jump to 16. Just go to 16. Stop effing around.
So there will be 16. So losses will matter even less. Scheduling will get more aggressive. And when we have those first few years of these matchups, it will feel heightened, even though the stakes won't be as high. And so a place that we're going eventually here with an expanded playoff to 16, I wonder if they'll get past that. But let's just say it sits at 16 for a little while. You're going to have rivalry games where you sit guys because you've got a war to fight and this is a battle that's in front of you. You've got, I'm not going to say load management like the NBA, but you will rest players because you know that you don't have to shoot the moon and go 12-0 just to have a chance to go play for a national title. So there are plus, the matchups will be better. We're going to close the bubble off from the old school FCS games, and the group of five games are going to be whittled down. And that is going to be fun, but week to week, there won't be the desperation anymore. Maybe that'll have the atmosphere in the stands be more fun because it's not as cutthroat. The result is not like, if you get the better of me and you're Clemson in October, ha ha, I'll see you in December and we'll beat you then when it really matters. Like that's the kind of thing that's going to be the new future of experiencing college football.
Yeah, there's good and bad and all of that. There's some bad to that. There's no doubt there is. I worry if we look big picture for what college football will be in this sense. What you're describing is the NFL. The NFL already exists, and they do it better, I promise you. They will always do it better. They have more money, more means, and these are the pros. The level of play is better. So, as college football charges inexorably towards being pro football, the uniqueness of college football that separated itself from pro football is diminished. And I do wonder, because we're talking about massive growth in the last 20 years, the TV era, the last 40 years, the TV era of college football, we watched a sport go from being a niche, largely Southern, with pockets of popularity elsewhere, like the Midwest and California, but largely Southern phenomena, college football, in terms of television ratings, to becoming the second most viewed sport in America behind the NFL. And there was a sense that it was different than pro football. And you had, for that reason, college football fans that loved college football and didn't really care about the NFL. And you had NFL fans who cared not about college football at all. That's not much different than what you have with the NBA and college basketball. And in recent years, I've become more of a college, more of an NBA fan than college basketball fan, unless Florida State's good, because the level of play is so god-awful in college basketball compared to the NBA. I just want to see what happens to long-term college football as they effort to become pro football. That's to me, that's a long-term problem, because I don't know that they'll have a uniqueness that they once possessed.
Agreed. They do have the generational tradition that can help, I think, bridge that gap. And the other part of it is 19-year-olds can't play in the NFL. I mean, I know we're becoming the best of our species are more mutant-esque than ever before.
Yeah.
But I mean, really, outside of, call it, six kids in every recruiting class, they're not going to be NFL-ready bodies within 12 months.
No, the sport's too brutal. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And six might be generous. Might be two kids per class, per cycle, that could reasonably exist in the National Football League. So that's one thing that football has that basketball does not. Basketball, if you're a stud and you're 18, you can play in the NBA. Absolutely, you can play in the NBA. You might average 7 points a game, but in 3 years, you're going to average 25 stud. But you could go play in the NBA. In football, with the nature of the contact, you cannot. So at least that age barrier, I think, allows for these two things to exist and grow independent of each other. But as you can see, they're starting to fight each other for time slots. You know, college football is closing in on more games in January and around the holidays, which the NFL has kind of owned. They've acquiesced to a degree where the playoff games can occur. I think they're every day of the week.
Yeah.
Over the course of the playoffs, they're going to have a playoff game on every day of the Monday through Sunday at some point. But still, the NFL is they're going to compete with each other. And that's the NFL's effing fault for not creating their own minor league system or subsidizing college football years and years ago. These two brands of football are going to compete with each other in the next 10 years.
Yeah, well, we know how that's going to go. The college towns and certain cities in the South are going to always gravitate towards college. New York City, Chicago, Philadelphia, Atlanta, Boston, various Dallas, Los Angeles, they're all going to watch pro football. That's how that's going to go. I mean, I love the idea of going bellying up, whether it's at Gordo's or the Corner Pocket or wherever, and asking for an ice cold beer and ordering some food and saying Oklahoma's about to kick off against Ole Miss, which, oh, by the way, they do this year. Oklahoma plays at Ole Miss. Saying that out loud is awesome. That's an amazing game. I love the idea that I'm going to look up and say, hey, can we put that TV on Oklahoma Ole Miss? This TV on Michigan, Oregon? You know what I mean? Like the matchups, the amount of incredible matchups every Saturday that we're going to have in the Super 2, there will never be that weekend that we have in college football currently where you sit down and go, really? These slapdicks, this is what we got today. This is what we're doing out here today.
That's usually week two and the week before rivalry week. And you just don't have those spots on the calendar anymore.
Yeah, where you're like, okay, I can't. I don't know. Now, listen, you and I have found a way, and so have millions of other sporting men and women, to make every weekend interesting. But that's what you got to do.
Well, and the other thing is you will have a classification. You talk about this often. You're going to have a classification of the sport that resembles what we've just exited. And you're going to see Wake Forest play Tulane.
And it's a great game.
And it's going to be a great game in its own right. And
I really, really, really look forward to that. I'm done pretending. I'm okay with moving beyond this. You don't have to schedule Temple and try to convince me that that's a game we should spend the same amount of money for as Florida State, Florida. That's fine. Like, let it be what it is. I am going to be excited to watch those games because we know they're on even footing.
Yes. And here's the other great part, too. Just this is the plus. I'm not saying the system is better, but here's the plus. The transfer portal puts you in a situation where you're going to watch these group of five games and say, get that effing kid to our campus because it's a feeder league. It's a feeder league up the ladder to where
it hurts, though. But conversely, that hurts, man, because if you're a fan or an alumnus of East Tennessee State University and you've got a really good receiver, better enjoy that singular season that you have him. I mean, that's tough, you know?
Well, as you're fond of saying, that guy must exist so Brad Pitt can exist.
Well, I am fond of saying that. That's right.
The Oakland Athletics have to exist so the Yankees can exist.
Well, that's a little different. That's a trust, and the Yankees need to understand that. But, yeah. Yeah. Well, there's downside to all of this, of course. It's Jeff Cameron Show, 93.3 Real Talk Radio, War Chant TV. Back for more in a moment.
The Jeff Cameron Show is a production of the WarChant.com Multimedia Network. Check out WarChant.com today for the latest news inside Florida State Athletics. That's WarChant.com. Now, back to Jeff on Real Talk 93.3.
Get ready to play the sounder. It's time to do the right thing and talk about my dear friend Adam Tolliver and the fine folks at Artisan Financial Strategies. In fact, play it, and then I'll tell you all about them.
Welcome to the majesty.
Every freaking rep.
The elegance.
To win the game. Oh, he hits the upright. It's no good.
You have entered.
Someone burn down the funeral home. You burnt the funeral home.
Lives will be changed.
Sideline. Touchdown. Unbelievable.
Mothers will cry.
When you see your players give all that they have and you lose that way, it's tough.
Legacies are etched into eternity.
I know who I am.
North, South Dakota was his brother from West Virginia.
This is the Red Zone.
It's good to know.
Always good. Go to NoleRetirement.com. These guys, best in the business, and I've really enjoyed working with Adam. It's a Nole through and through. And wants to help Noles throughout the country. And if you go to NoleRetirement.com, you'll see scoring in the retirement red zone, building a winning game plan. You can click on that. You can also join their email list. It's a free retirement readiness assessment. Now, free is always good. When it's about your money and what you're going to be doing with it moving forward and how much you need in retirement and how not to go broke or perhaps applying money to cementing your legacy with your family, however it's going to be, financial planning, estate planning, risk management, investment management, business succession, and exit strategies, it's all there with my friends at Artisan Financial Strategies. Go see them today, NoleRetirement.com. What do we have today for the Red Zone, Tom?
Okie dokie. So today, it's about more of what we've been discussing, which is looking at the college football slate. We're looking at Florida State's schedule and the games that they don't play, the bye weeks. We've got three of them this year, and so a little bit of homework needs to be done on this of which games are the most fun during Florida State's bye weeks, which is the true headliner, which is what the TV networks would most certainly select to put in a prime slot. But then I'm also going to ask your opinion for a sneaky one, the Cameron special, so to speak. So,
I like this exercise. Okay, good. I always have opinions on this, and I know our first bye week is September the 7th.
That is correct. So it could be that you like the clash of uniforms or schools that haven't met before. It could be that you like this number because it's an interest. It's a game of interest. Whatever it is, take it however you want to go. I think I've been bloviating long enough that you might have actually pulled up the schedule. But again, week two, we'll have played two games already because we play in week zero. But week two on September the 7th, what do you like as either the headliner? There's one game that sticks out above the rest, and then a sneaky good one.
The Cy-Hawk. Iowa State plays Iowa September the 7th, Tom.
Did you just drop down with a Cy-Hawk trophy on me?
I did. The Cy-Hawk. I'll be the only one that takes that one. I will be pulling hard for Florida A&M to shock the world and go down to Miami in a night game and beat the Canes. That is that same weekend. I'm going to argue that this particular weekend of games sucks, but the headliner will be Texas versus Michigan. right?
It has to be. It is a light slate, but that game is at noon. Yes. So if you wanted to do something, this is, again, it's going to be hot as hell where we live, you know, Tallahassee in the South. And so if you want to do something in the evening, take the kids out to dinner during a football week, this would be your chance to score some points early in the season.
Yeah.
After, of course, you tuned into Texas, Michigan at noon, because you're right. The slate after, I mean, Cal Auburn is, that's a game that's getting some national run. South Carolina, Kentucky is on ABC at 3:30.
Cal beat Auburn at Auburn a couple of years ago. I would take, yeah, Texas, Michigan's great. Pitt versus Cincinnati, yes, pretty good game. It's a sorry slate, Tom. I'm going with the Cy-Hawk. And then oddly, because I'm weird this way, I wouldn't mind flying up to Laramie and seeing Idaho take on Wyoming.
Well, here's one for you, though. Here's one because of tradition. I think you'd like this. 7:30 p.m. NBC Big Ten Saturday night. Mm-hmm. Colorado at Nebraska. That is just a clash of uniforms. That is something that.
Oh, well, it's also an old, used to be a great rivalry out of the Big 12. It was, you know, the Big 8 back in the day. I mean, yeah. Colorado, Nebraska. It's also an important game for both programs, an immensely important game for both programs. You have two trying to establish themselves as relevant. Neither have been.
Here's also a sneaky good one after you've had a few pops. This is Pac-12 after dark, or should I say Pac-2?
Rest in peace.
Yeah, Pac-2 after dark, and that would be Texas Tech at Washington State.
Definitely after a few pops, yeah.
A lot of points being scored in Pullman.
Yeah. A lot of points. I'll watch it. It's college football. I'm up late. Pour a stiff one. Let's watch this one here and see if this goes over the 60 that we bet on earlier today.
Hey, there's more on CBS Sports Network at 10:30, Oregon State, San Diego State. Again, if you put on the four picture, the mosaic.
Yeah. Well, what's happening here is two guys are talking in the middle of the summer, and every game sounds like it's going to be awesome. this is what this is. Like, if you say to me, Jeff, Oregon State's taking on San Diego State, I'm excited about this matchup. I say, in June, me too. I'm very excited about that matchup.
It just feels like a bettable window. Also in the late window, Mississippi State at Arizona State. That's a bettable game. Strange clash of uniforms.
Two sorry programs doing a whole lot of sucking against one another. Yep, that's what that is. Let's go to the next bye week. What do we have? I looked it up because we were talking about this just now. Isn't that 10-12?
Yeah, October 12th. That is correct, October 12th.
All right, so let's go here for matchups that are interesting. Well, that's Florida Tennessee week, so that's always going to be interesting. Actually, this is a good week period. There are a lot of like, that's interesting. You know, like a Cincinnati UCF could be interesting. By the way, Cincinnati UCF is the site of one of the great betting heartbreaks that I've ever had. Do you remember this from a few years back?
No.
The Cincinnati UCF game that was wild as hell. And I can't remember which side of it I was on, believe it or not. I think I was on Cincinnati's side, and they drove down at the end of the game, this wild affair.
Yes.
In the 40s or whatever.
Yes. It was clock management or down distance management. Yes. I do remember this.
And they didn't know that they needed to go for two. Because if they go for two and get it, I win. And they kicked the extra point. It made zeros. Pull that game up. I can't remember which side of the ledger I was on. I just remember I was in shock. In shock that I got screwed out of that game.
Well, you will be very disappointed that when I put great finish Cincinnati USF, Google doesn't find it. So I think that
UCF.
Oh, UCF.
UCF. Yeah, it was Cincinnati UCF.
I remember, weren't they wearing all white that night? I remember something.
I'm still pissed about. I know. All I know is that I had gone with my wife to get a beverage at Deep locally here, and that game was on, and I was like, "Oh, I'm about to steal this bet. I'm going to win this thing." And then something happened at the end that cost me dearly. And I remember it was down on the goal line. It was down on the goal line, and yes. I was in shock.
Yes. Might have been last year, November 4th. Cincinnati falls to UCF 28-26. Could be.
And they didn't go for two. There was something dumb like that. All I remember is I was furious. It might have been. They probably played a few close games here in recent memory.
There is a headliner that is the undisputed one of the headliners of the season.
Oh, hold on. No, I wasn't done. In terms of the games for this particular weekend on October the 12th, right? So, first of all, there's a lot of good games. Ohio State at Oregon.
There it is.
Is incredible. But I'm not going to stop there, guys. That particular weekend, Ohio State at Oregon, Washington at Iowa is a great game. Penn State, Southern Cal. It's Texas, Oklahoma weekend. It's, it's good. There's a lot of good in that whole weekend, Tom. I'm with you. That's a good weekend right there. Georgia Tech at North Carolina is a pretty good ACC game. Don't know that I'm going to be locked into Purdue, Illinois that weekend, but Ole Miss at LSU that weekend in the early slate,
Penn
Florida,
State.
Tennessee. I already said that one.
Did you say Penn State, USC?
That's, I did.
Ohio State, Oregon is the headliner though, because that's about seeding and it's a conference game. It's just bizarre.
A lot of pressure on Ryan Day.
Yep.
That's a weekend. I am pumped. We got to get to the third one because we've gone on and on here. But the third week, the last bye for Florida State, is the 16th of November. And that is LSU Florida weekend. So right off the bat, you're going to start with that. That's a really good good game. We'll see if Tennessee Georgia weekend, Oregon Wisconsin weekend, buddy. Oregon Wisconsin's cool matchup. Early in the slate, we've got some great games there. ACC matchup isn't terrible. Wake UNC. You've got.
I think you've listed most.
We're done here.
We're watching a lot of Oregon during our bye weeks this year. Is what we're doing. We're watching a couple of Oregon games start to finish.
Yeah, Virginia, Notre Dame. No. I think that's it. We named them, buddy. But those aren't bad. I mean, those aren't bad at all. By the way, Boston College sneaky good game at SMU that week.
Ooh, that is weird.
That's kind of a sneaky good game. That's one of those. Oh, look at this. BC and SMU are playing.
Kansas BYU could be interesting. Utah Colorado. That
Kansas BYU is very interesting, actually. Those are two pretty well coached teams. There you go.
Utah Colorado is good as well.
Well, you know how I feel about that game. One guy is going to play a brand of football that men play. Mm-hmm.
And then here you go. Here's one. It's already tied to Fox because Fox has the Pac-12 deal. They have no idea what time they're going to slot it. Live from University Stadium in Albuquerque, New Mexico. It is New Mexico hosting Washington State.
Man, what a fun year. If Colorado goes the same way they did a year ago and, you know, maybe wins a game or two early and then falls to pieces like they did, does he retire? Does he leave?
He walks out and he doesn't announce his...
Well, Shador goes to the league, and then he's like, oh, yeah.
It's like there's a piece of paper on the door the way some restaurants close. They're like, yeah, sorry, we're done.
He'll blame his health.
There's a weird one at noon that day. Texas, Arkansas. That's strange, but good uniforms. Good uniforms.
That's the old Southwest Conference, buddy. That is back when – see, this is where I'm old. That's the old Southwest Conference right there. That's back in the day.
So you watch them play in a conference game in the Southwest against?
No, I'm just talking about like the legends of certain programs, man. That is. And my youth, buddy, Frank Broyles, all these guys. Yeah. here we go. Always have had an affinity for Arkansas. The helmet is incredible. Uniforms are awesome. That is as good of a emblem of a logo as anybody has in football besides Florida State. That the Razorback is a badass. Mm-hmm.
And they're good for even when they're not good. They're good for a scare a year. They're good for like, ooh, Texas is up 10-7 in the third. Yeah. Arkansas playing some defense today.
Well, we love us some Woo Pig Suey. We do. Crazy fans. We remember the professor screaming at Fat Bielema. There's always, yeah.
He's had a couple of good years.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, there have been moments. There have been. It's the story of Arkansas's life is that they, every now and then, you look up, you're like, Arkansas is pretty good this year. That's about the best you know for it. That's about the best you could do. But they're crazy fans, a cool facility, and those uniforms are awesome, and the Razorback is a beast. I love it.
And the good news is, I think this is might be the final year of COVID eligibility extending out a little bit longer.
People are 30 years old. How in the world?
They are. Well, you know, they get a red shirt plus that, plus a medical dispensation. So what that does, though, is it provides you in all these weeks, even one like September the 7th, where it's a little skinny amount of games, you're going to get a fourth quarter or two that you don't expect to get. And you say, sure. Oh, my God, can you believe it? Central Michigan might do it.
Well, NoelRetirement.com. NoelRetirement.com. Go see our friends at Artisan Financial Strategies. Good stuff right there. Come back, wrap it up momentarily.
The Jeff Cameron Show is a production of the WarChant.com Multimedia Network. Check out WarChant.com today for the latest news inside Florida State Athletics. That's WarChant.com. Now, back to Jeff on Real Talk 93.3.
Wrapping it up, headed to the weekend. I hope you guys have a great one. By the way, one last thing. Just out of curiosity, because I was reading the story during the break. How do you think what's-his-face Redick is going to do with the Lakers?
Oh, man. I think no matter what happens to him, he's got a career in television. I don't know who can fix that particular situation.
Well, I bring it up because I think we have a prime candidate for our next Kiss My Ass on Main Street. And it's the greatest gig in the world to be invited into a situation that is fairly untenable. And when things go south, the organization that brought you in has more money than sense. And they will gladly fire you after a year or two, especially if LeBron decides that he doesn't like what's going down, and you'll make a ton of money. Now, for those that came out and said, and I already saw this in the chats, that not in our chats, but just across the country, oh, well, you know, how is it even possible that, you know, guys are getting hired with no professional coaching experience? Well, Jason Kidd got hired fresh off of being a player and had no NBA experience whatsoever, and he's turned out to be a very good coach. Steve Nash did the same. It's happened before. So JJ Redick getting hired is not, it's not novel. It's not all that new. It's happened before where player coaches, players who you know, were guards or whatever, were thought to have a great acumen for the game, were given opportunities in the past. Bill Russell was a player coach. So we can go back a long, long ways. This is not, you know, unreasonable.
I mean, extended out to other sports. Jeff Saturday in the NFL, you know, no experience as a coach. Was a coach of the Indianapolis Colts. I mean,
yeah, it happens.
Story that was.
It happens. I just wanted to note that there is a real potential for an incredible Kiss My Ass on Main Street for him. He's already wealthy. He's already doing all right for himself. But nothing's going to top my man the other day from the Pistons. Woo! No.
That's you know, he and Jimbo understand each other in a way that many people on this earth, most people on this earth, do not. They might see each other at some sort of corporate event at some point down the line and just wink and go, "What's up, big shooter?"
You know what's funny? It's funny, really quick. I know we got to sign off. So Bryce loves the NBA. I told you guys that before, and we talk about, I didn't realize that I have a fairly extensive knowledge on the NBA going back, because I loved it. I was consumed by it for like 25 years of my life. And then I took a long respite from it and then had kids. And then my oldest got into it and I jumped back in. But when I look at the totality of my life, that's a small window of time that I wasn't into it, right? Just only about 15 years where I wasn't into it. Every other year that I can, where I was a sentient sports fan, I was into it. And he said to me the very common sense thing that everybody says when they read these stories. He goes, wait a minute. NBA contracts, NFL contracts, college football contracts, Dad. If a coach gets fired for incompetence and they don't win a lot of games, you have to pay him the other years. I'm like, yes. He goes, well, that doesn't make any sense. No other business does that. Correct, son. Correct. That is right. You do not get fired from your job as a fireman and they pay you for the next 10 years. It doesn't happen. If you're a teacher that's let go from Leon County school system because there were 47 complaints from parents and none of the kids passed their standardized tests, yeah, they don't go. It's
with the binders. You're taking the binders and smacking them in the head.
Yeah, they don't say, all right, Susan, we're going to have to let you go, but don't worry. For the next 16 years, we'll pay you your salary. It doesn't happen. It doesn't happen in any other walk of life.
What if you were such a superstar in a school district that everybody wants, like Cambridge or something? I don't know. I'll go to Leon County if you fully guarantee my contract over the next 5 years.
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to leave Harvard to coach at Roberts or to teach at Roberts. Now, listen, I'm only going to do this if I have a 15-year guaranteed deal. It's nuts. Sports, if you're in sports, you got it made. It's hard to get into, but if you can, man, goodness gracious. Good work out of UT, Lizzie, as always. Be good, everybody. Have a wonderful weekend. Thanks for joining us, and we'll talk to you again on Monday. Peace.